All right, welcome back. Question number one for message number five. As a wife, do you struggle to submit to your husband in the Lord? You know I cannot answer this question. I'm not a wife. What do you think is the root cause of the struggle? If your answer is you have no struggle, please share how a struggling wife can overcome the struggle. So I'm afraid I cannot answer these questions by experience, but only from theory. The struggle is usually based upon the wife's relationship with Christ, just like the husband's relationship with Christ. The reason is, when you and I are born again in Christ, our relationship with Christ is the key to all relationships on earth. If you want to have a healthy relationship with your possessions, draw nigh to Christ. You want to have a healthy relationship with your enemies, draw nigh to Christ. The closer you are to Christ, the easier it is for you to obey all the teachings and commandments in the Bible. That, I realized, I learned, is the key. And this is, to me, perhaps the root cause for the struggle. And so when the husband helps the wife to draw close to Christ, just as the wife, as a helper suitable for him, help him to draw nigh to Christ, you will have a oneness that the Lord Jesus Christ assures every Christian husband and Christian wife when they obey what Jesus has prescribed for us. The two roles of the Christian wife and the Christian husband. As a husband, do you struggle to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church? In the early years of marriage, as I continued to study more and more of the Bible, where my understanding of the Bible was not what it should be in maturity, the struggle was there. The adjustments, the dealing with all the challenges of married life. Some of you may know that when I and my wife and I got married, I was a second year student in FEBC. She was working, I was studying. And the struggle of study life, memorizing hundreds of vocabulary in Hebrew and Greek within just a year or two, was very, very daunting and challenging, to say the least. And then to have my wife working, living in a room in FEBC without a shower, and whenever there was rain, it was cold, we have to boil water in order for my wife to have a warm shower or warm bath with a bucket. All these things affected me. I was not able to provide for my wife a better living condition in the first 3 years of our marriage, because that's how long we stayed in FEBC until I graduated 3 years later. And then after that, we lived in church for 1 year before we went to America for 3 years. And during those times in America, financially, it was also a challenge. We had to apply for food stamps because we did not have enough to buy milk and conflicts. And so we applied for food stamps. Thank God we qualified. So these were the struggles and challenges about providing for my wife, my family, my two girls at the time. It affected. And so struggle to love my wife as Christ loved the church was real. Unconditionally, sacrificially. But then, thank God, by his mercies and grace with time and with a very understanding and godly wife, we struggle through them. And the more you study God's word, the more you lean upon the Lord, the more you draw nigh to God in Christ, then you begin to learn and you begin to realize how what Jesus Christ taught us can become a practical reality. That this is not wishful thinking. This is what Jesus Christ desires and expects of every Christian husband and Christian wife. With all that he has provided for us, We have no excuse nor reason to fail except when we deliberately choose to disobey Him. And so with the passage of time, you realize that, why didn't I learn earlier? Why didn't I start much, much earlier and make fewer mistakes so that more of my life together with my wife as husband and wife could have been, should have been a gold, silver, precious stone than wood, hay and stubble. If you do, what is the root cause of your inability, as mentioned already, when I'm not as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as I should, where the Word of God was more theoretical in my head than in my heart, those were tough and difficult times. But thank God for His patience, long-suffering and mercies in dealing with me. Do you think Christ gave husbands a command that is impossible to keep, as mentioned earlier? No. Love of God, to love our wives. That's agape love. The whole passage in Ephesians 5:22-33, all agape love. And that is the love of God that was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God will never, ever command us to do something that He has not already equipped us to do. And with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, how can you and I fail the Lord and our wife and our children unless we deliberately want to be wayward, don't study God's word, stay far away from the Lord and love the world? These are the behaviors that will result in disobedience, and then there will be trials and problems and quarrels in your home. But when you are godly, your wife is godly, both of you want to please Christ, both of you want to obey the Bible, you have oneness in reality. Isn't that true? The Bible teaches you how to discipline your children. Both of you obey, both of you follow. You don't have to have debates or quarrel as to how to bring up your children. It's all given to us in Scripture, especially from the book of Proverbs. And so this oneness is real. That's why the only time in the whole Bible when God mentioned this 1 plus 1 equals 1 before the fall and Ephesians 5. Nowhere else. It's as if God is telling us, I have restored the marriage between a Christian husband and Christian wife to that level of Adam and Eve before the fall. It's now up to you to turn it into a reality. Last question. When professing Christians divorce, how does it impact the image or relationship of Christ and His church? Now, you know, I deliberately put the word professing because they say they are Christians, right? That's what professing means. And so they got married. And then when they divorce, the impact on Christ and His church is, to me, tragic and disastrous. It's as if we are saying, if the husband initiates the divorce, Christ will undo the work on the cross in our lives. Isn't that true? Because of what He did for us at Calvary, and what God the Father accepted what He did on Calvary, raising Him from the dead. Our relationship with Jesus Christ can never be diminished or vitiated or torn apart. But when the husband initiates the divorce, they are sending the message that Jesus Christ wants to break away from us. That's impossible. But that's the message that you send to people who love you, to people who know you, who call yourself Christians when you got married. But that's the message. And if the wife were to initiate divorce, it is the church that is now telling the Lord Jesus Christ, don't have anything more to do with me, get out of my life. But that again is also impossible. How can a church purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will ever, ever turn their back on Christ? Not possible. And that's why divorce is never an option for the Christian husband and the Christian wife. You must try your best to reconcile, because you can in Christ, because the love of Christ covers a multitude of sin, which is true. Learning to forgive is a very, very precious privilege that God has given to sinners like us, saved by His grace. You know that Jesus Christ is the one who ordained marriage, right? Do you know the implication? I did a research in Singapore. They used to have only four grounds for divorce. They just added a fifth one. And then when I check on Australia, if memory serves me right, they have 14 grounds for divorce. The more grounds for divorce you have, the easier it is for divorce, right? So Singapore has five, and one of them is unrepentant adultery. All right? The others would be brutality, you know, violence and so on, and separation. Three of them are about separation. Okay? Separated for 4 years, literally, actually no communication, automatic divorce. Separated for 3 years, you need consent. Separated for 2 years, mutual consent, and so on. But there is one on unrepentant adultery. The Australian 14 rules, I cannot remember all 14 of them. But we teach our people back home that the Bible only teaches and the Bible only gives permission in the New Testament to unrepentant adultery. And if you divorce your spouse based upon other reasons that may be legal, but as far as Christ is concerned, you are still married. They have to know this. So if you divorce because of physical violence, that's it. Legally, you are divorced. But in the eyes of Christ, you are not. So who has the upper hand? The answer is simple. Who ordained marriage? Who instituted marriage? Is it the government? If the government instituted it, then they can come up with all kinds of rules and regulations that can justify divorce. But if God and Christ instituted it, they ordained it. Since it is their institution, does it not logically mean that they alone, God the Father, God the Son, they alone have the right to decide what constitutes legitimate divorce? And it is true. They ordain it. Genesis 2. And since God ordained it, God says only one reason between a professing Christians: unrepentant adultery. Which means if you divorce based upon a physical violence in the eyes of the law, you are divorced. And then if you were to remarry in the eyes of Christ, since you are still married to your spouse, that's adultery. You know that, right? And that is taught in the gospel as well. And that is why we have to realize and understand divorce between professing believers. It's a very, very serious transgression, and it must never, never be treated lightly. And so, do not marry without careful prayer and biblical, judicious consideration. It is a step that will change you for the rest of your life. Because even after you are divorced, under marital status, you can no longer ever tick the box single, even though you are now single. You have to tick the box divorcee. You change your status for the rest of your life. So please don't ever think of divorce. God makes no mistakes when He brought both of you together through thick or thin. The marriage vow is not a wishful thinking. In sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part. That means external circumstances, they don't mean anything in our relationship. Only till death will we ever part. Now, who's in charge of death? God. God brought us together. God alone can separate us. So don't ask for divorce. To ask for divorce is to ask for premature death. That's what it is, isn't it? And so those Hollywood movie to portray, well, husband and wife divorced, but we are still best of friends. That is nonsense. Right? That is the devil's ploy to beautify divorce. It's ugly. It's tragic. and it seriously damaged the illustration that Christ himself had chosen to describe his relationship with his church. So please guard your marriage, protect it, don't let anything, not even your children or anyone, tear you asunder. Defend it, protect it by keeping close to Christ together as husband and wife, so that what Jesus assured us, you are truly one. Amen.